told you this morning I was going to talk with you on top 10 ways to go to hell. And I'm going to give you 10 ways tonight you can go to hell, and I'll give them to you briefly. And you say, well, preacher, I mean, that's for lost people. Well, I don't know that you ain't lost. I mean, you know, all I know for sure is that I'm saved tonight, the only one I know for sure. But I'm going to have to lead up to the message by giving you some things. And so if you just bear with me, I'd like to do that. Has any of y'all heard of the Brownsville revival that's taking place in Pensacola, Florida? None of you or any of y'all heard of that? It's a big thing going on. I don't know if you've heard of it. It started back on Father's Day of 1995. And I can tell you, God ain't in it. Not at all. And I'll show you why. I've actually had opportunity to see video of what's going on there. And God is not the author of confusion. Neither is he in people throwing up. There's actually people in the church puking on one another. And folks come to the front of the church and they're putting dog collars on them. And they're running around barking like a bunch of dogs and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff, believe it or not, is happening in places that are called churches. I will tell you, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of places. There's a lot of what I call them establishments, buildings that's got a sign out there that says church. But it ain't a church. Amen. It's not a church. But I got something over on my email today that Brother Johnny Campbell actually sent me a tape of, y'all know Brother Joseph Chambers out of Charlotte, I believe most of you did, but he'd ordered some tapes of him on Beatles and the Beatle music and how it's gotten to our churches, but at the same time it was talking about the Brownsville revival, and I've actually got to see some of the video of it. I got the video at the house, but I got a newsletter today through my email about it, and I just wanted to read this to you and to show you to build some groundwork, and this is what's going on in places that call themselves churches. At 5:30 p.m., the church begins to rock. 100 teenagers in the choir loft jump to their feet, clapping and dancing as they sing. The vast congregation responds in kind, and soon the carnivorous auditorium is literally shaking. Maybe there's too much shaking. After 15 minutes, a man takes the pulpit with an important announcement. We ask the people in the balcony not to jump or bounce. It wasn't designed for that. You can come downstairs here if you want to worship. When the service begins in earnest at 6:05, the announcement is all but forgotten. The excitement begins on the platform where a man in a purple sport coat begins running in place. The man to his left follows suit, and soon the two are dancing together behind the pulpit. The spirit spreads to the balcony where children roll down the broad steps while parents try their best to bounce without shaking the floor. On the front row of the balcony, one gray-haired woman attracts even more attention than the ministers dancing on the platform. Looking like a geriatric cheerleader, she crisscrosses her arms in front of her and chops wildly at the air above her head. When she finally falls to the floor and thrashes about for 5 minutes, her fellow worshipers burst into applause. At the last thumping, driving music fades into a slow worship chorus. The cheerleader struggles to her knees, her hands raised to heaven. Wiping his brow with a handkerchief, one of the dancing ministers announces, "I'm not going to make any excuses. I just want to dance tonight because the glory of the Lord has returned to his church." Father's Day, 1995, was the date of their return. Since then, the Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola, Florida, has drawn hundreds of thousands of the curious and faithful to what has been billed as one of the largest revivals in modern history. Leaders say an average of 3,000 people attend services 4 nights a week, Wednesday through Saturday, with even more on Sunday mornings. The marquee out front tallies the number of saved souls the way McDonald's used to put the tout number on hamburgers sold. Over 114,000 decisions for Christ, the sign read earlier this fall. Now, I'm all for worshiping God. And I'm all for that. I have seen God get into folks that I have seen folks dance in the house of God, but it was decently and it was orderly. Amen. I'm not in for women falling around, rolling around on the floor, thrashing about like I find that in the Bible, but I find it in demon possessed people falling down and thrashing about. Amen. But this kind of junk is going on, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. I'm not. For facts, I'm pretty sure there was a documentary here just a few weeks back on one of the programs, 2020 or something of that nature, that was covering the Brownsville revival and watching this bunch of junk going on in what we call the church. Now, we wonder why folks are afraid to go to the house of God. Amen. I'd be honest with you, I'd be afraid to go down there myself, and I'm saved because I don't want to step off in a bunch of junk going on like that. But we wonder why we're not reaching the lost in the way that we ought to be reaching the lost. And I can tell you tonight, it's because the church has resorted to tactics that the world uses to get folks in the doors there, and God's not going to use the world
to save the world. He said, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. See, I'm not in for hot dog Sunday. I'm not in for carnivals. I'm not in for a fishing time where we all come dressed up like a bunch of gigolos and do this two-step and the square dance and all like that to get lost folks in the house of God. Amen. I believe get them in by inviting them to the house of God. Let the word of God sort them out. Amen. But we don't resort to tactics of the world to win the world. Amen. We make them fourfold more a child of hell when we do this. 114,000 souls saved. I doubt it very seriously. Not under that kind of junk. They walked in the door, felt the demonic spirit, and walked out and thought they were saved. Folks dying and going to hell. And our churches are having stinking carnivals, amen. I don't think it's nowhere in the Word of God. You might get mad at me for preaching it. But I really don't make no difference, amen. If it ain't in the book, leave it alone. I don't find them having a carnival when Jesus went to the synagogue, amen. I don't find them dressing and doing the jig in the house of God when Jesus was in the house, amen. I tell you what it is. It's a number. It's all a number. And how many we can get in the door so we can boast and brag. I know independent Baptist churches that are going on bus routes on Sunday and following behind buses from other churches to find out where to be. I know some person following behind them to find out where they're getting their children. Then next Sunday they leave an hour earlier and go get them children. They're supposed to be at another church so they can boast of how many bus kids they got at the church. I tell you, God ain't in that church. Not one bit. I do not believe in using the world to win the lost. Now, we've offered the lost man everything under the sun to appease his stinking flesh to get him into the house of God. I think you've heard me mention before that churches have now resorted into cutting their lights down to him. Some of them cutting their lights down to him. That's where that bunch of sorry contemporary music has come into our churches. So it is to give us a good little feeling in our heart to upbeat things just a little bit, make you want to move with the music. Amen. We wonder why we got people in the church are running around and bed hopping with one another. We wonder why our families and why our homes are breaking off in the breaking up. I tell you what, it's because the church has allowed things inside us that God is not in. And it's happening all over. Don't get mad at me over this message. You know as well as I do. That's why I like that song, The Old Story. The day I got saved, that's all that was going on. It was the old, old story, and the Holy Ghost of God was the moving. Amen. And I think that's what it takes, too. For a child or for a person to be born again, it don't have to be from the preaching of the Word of God. It don't have to be the gospel. It don't have to be the good news. Amen. That is the only thing that will get the job done. You can offer them everything under the sun. Amen. But if they getting everything, hey, you want to know why churches are packed nowadays? Because they ain't got to run in the world to find the world. They can go with the church and find the world running around in the church. Amen. And it's sad. I tell you, half the churches on the block nowadays, they ought to rip the name church off the front of it. Amen. They ought to be burnt to the ground because God ain't meeting there. And we got a bunch of infidels standing in pulpits. We got a church full of lustfulness. We got a church full of people that's not in love with God. It's in love with people in the church. And we're wondering why in the name of God, they're lost men and women don't want to come to church. Amen. I know that sounds mean. I know that it does. But it's a fact that it's going on. The world never dictates, should never dictate to the house of God our worship services. The world should never dictate the standards that the church has. It ought to be taken right from the Word of God, amen. Sad and it's pitiful. Yeah, I know some men in this church can take you to some churches where you can go in the basement of their church and you can go up to their jukebox and you can find Iron Maiden on it. You can find any kind of rock and roll music. You say, well, boy, I don't think that's happening. That's going on, honey. That's our problem. We don't think that that's happening, but it's going on, amen. And I think we'll get right back to the root of it. It's got something to do with that right there. Get right there, lay that guilt on you, get you to put your money in there, amen. I think that's all that it is, amen. It all boils back to money. I'm amazed at some of the means churches are using to get souls in their assembly. But I know some of my own personal preacher friends that disagree with me on some of these things. But they don't pastor here. Where they pastor, they can preach what they believe. But where I pastor, amen, what I see in the book, I don't believe in a carnival. I don't believe in trying to give them a hot dog to get them into the house of God. I've never believed in that. People call. You'd be surprised. Preachers get phone calls sometimes. Won't know if you offer this in church.
if you offer that in church. You offer the King's Club. What name of God? Somebody tell me what the King's Club is. Amen. I'm already in the King's Club. All I ever heard about a club. God pulled me out of the clubs. Amen. I don't run in the clubs anymore. Anything outside that, all I know is that the club that Brother Wayne probably carries in his car, he has to knock some upside the head with. Amen. I don't know nothing about the King's Club. I don't know nothing about the water. I don't know. I want to preach the Word of God, and that's what we need to hear. Amen. What's going on in our churches? And I'm not against everything. Don't think it. But I think there needs to be some changes. Some places ought to close their doors. Preacher, these things go on. Yeah.
Amen.
I can personally take you to places right now just advertising how many souls they've won for the Lord. I don't even like them words. I made a decision.
That's right.
That's right. I don't like them words. I made a decision. 114,000 decisions for Christ. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I don't know if that was in 95, 96, or 97. Well, no, that's overall, isn't it? Let's go there. And about a year from now, see how many of them's living for God.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You'll probably find 114,000 of them still there.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. Because it's got something that appeals to the flesh.
Right.
And if we can give them something that appeals to the flesh, it'll keep them.
That's right.
We have resorted, only way you'll get their attention, preacher, is if you give them something to appease the flesh, amen. Well, I got news, buddy, if the Holy Ghost of God don't get your attention, amen, we're wasting our time to begin with, amen. It's not a place to come and appeal the flesh, it's a place to come and get soul for your spirit, food for your spirit, amen. Something that'll help you. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Y'all bear with me. We wonder why folks are dying going to hell. Look with me real quick, if you would, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I know of a couple Baptist churches right now, Independent Baptist Church in Fuston, who's baptizing the most. You think I'm lying? I know of one right now that's driving an hour away from their church into another church is where they're at and trying to pick up their bus people and take them to their church. Or they got a club where every soul you win, you get a number for it. And you can be in the hundreds club or the thousands club. See, that's the old 700 club kind of stuff to me, amen. Of how many numbers. And you get your name printed of how many souls you led to God, amen. Isn't that pitiful? That's all prestigious. We can say what we want. That's all prideful and prestigious. Thank God for every soul that's ever been saved, amen. But I got news tonight, amen. If God ever did if anybody ever got saved, it was God that done it, amen. We can put our name in there if we want to, but it's God that does the saving, amen. Look at with me, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to give you something. I know this ain't pretty. I know that, but you know what's happening. You know as well as I do this kind of junk is going on. Moreover, brethren, I declare, listen to what Paul's saying here. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand. I like that. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, we'll deal with that in a minute. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. I like it. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as one of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, the greatest you'll find in the Word of God. Listen to His statements. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Remain standing, if you would, and flip over to Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven,
preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, he's repeating it again, let him be accursed. You may be seated. I ain't going to take much time, but I want to talk to you on the thought of a sucker. Y'all know what a sucker is tonight? I'm not using bad language. Don't misunderstand me, but that's what most folks are. Most folks are suckers tonight for things, and they're falling for things of the world today that the church is offering to get them inside the doors, to get in their wallet, amen, to get into their life, and it ain't got nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. You notice what the Apostle Paul said there. He said, man, I am marveling that you have been so soon removed or shaken in mind about the gospel that was once delivered to you. That word marvel there means amazed. Paul said, I am amazed from where you used to be to where you are now. I wonder how many places we could go tonight, amen, and go back and look what they used to be and then go now and see what they have become. You want to know why? We have perverted, we've watered down the gospel, amen. We removed repentance out of the bush. We're afraid to preach on the blood. We don't want to talk about sin, yet we want everybody to go to heaven.
Going on. Have y'all ever heard of the Baptist Briders? Have y'all ever heard of the Baptist Briders? A Baptist Brider is someone that believes that only the Baptists are going to be the bride of Christ. Now, that's stupidity. I know I'm part of the bride of Christ because of the Word of God. I'm a Baptist tonight because of what I believe from the Word of God. But I wouldn't dare say that Brother Joe Chambers is not going to be in heaven.
That's right.
I wouldn't dare say that he's not part of the Bride of Christ and he's Church of God, amen. But I believe the man is saved, amen.
Right.
But this junk is going on. It's Baptist Brider. It's everything to do with just a name. Now, I believe God named everything. That's why I'm not in this non-denomination or interdenomination. Everything God ever made, he gave it a name, amen. But I do not believe in trying to persuade folks. And they're actually taking saved folks. It's been born again and baptized and re-baptizing them that they might be part of the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
7 and 8 year old children. Now you listen to me. You want to talk about a hot-headed daddy that be ready to whoop somebody? Somebody went and got my children from one church they're supposed to be at and took them to another church and rebaptized them. You're looking at a man that'd be mad. You're looking at a man that would be upset. Amen. That is a perversion of the gospel. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Because most folks you run into today, amen, the first thing they'll mention when you talk to them about being saved is they'll say, I've been what? Baptized. I've been baptized. I was baptized when I was 4. I was baptized again when I was 8. I was baptized when I was 12. I got baptized when I turned 16. I got baptized again when I was 21. And they still ain't in the house of God. They still ain't at home most of the time. They still watching the same program, drinking the same beer, acting the same old way. I tell you, you can get baptized a million times. Baptism will never get you into the family or the kingdom of God. One way you can go to hell tonight is to get baptized. I told you it wasn't going to be popular.
Come on.
I know it ain't going to be popular. Are you for baptism? I'm 100% for baptism.
Amen.
It's in the book. Jesus was baptized. He sets forth our example according to the Word of God. They'll probably every child of God that's ever been saved ought to get baptized. Amen.
Amen.
But baptism will not keep you from going to hell.
Amen.
That's what they're preaching. It's deceit and it's trickery. Paul said he give us the gospel there in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, now I'm giving you the gospel. I declared in you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also received and wherein you stand. By which ye also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That's a scary verse, isn't it? Is it possible to believe in vain? Well, if we go and read Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 29, I believe that it is. Paul was speaking of, we're not of the kind that draws back into perdition. Or that, well, let me just read that thing to you. Hebrews, bear with me, I'm going to get somewhere here with the Lord's help. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What are you trying to say? I'm giving you 10 things real quickly here that our churches are giving from the pulpit.
Amen.
It will assure you a spot in heaven, honey. It'll buy you an acre of land up there. It'll get you a mansion. It'll get you eternal life. It'll get you peace. Amen. It'll get you joy. It'll do all these kind of things, but it is not in the Word of God. Paul said, I know you say you believe, but have you really believed into the saving of your soul? What's he trying to say here? That everybody believes, even the demons, the book says, believe in God. And I told you to say it, just believe and you'll go to heaven. That's hogwash, amen. If you really believe, it'll make a change and a difference in your life to the saving of your soul. Now, somebody that has not believed unto the saving of their soul, it may not show up in a week. It may not show up in a moment. Now, don't you start getting people in your mind. That you'll start saying, well, I don't believe that one's probably not saved then, and this and this probably not. Don't you dare do that. You look at yourself, amen. But someone that has not believed unto the saving of their soul, they will not be able to endure sound doctrine very long. They'll have to fall out and move down to Pensacola, Florida, and go to the Brownsville Revival that they might get something for this flesh, amen. Why? Because they're dead spiritually. Believe in God. Devils believe. And they tremble. Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? Well, Paul didn't say you had to go and do anything. He said, believe. He didn't say believe in God. Everybody believes in God. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See, that brings it down to a personal person, doesn't it? God can be anything in the world we want it to be. But when you say believe in Jesus, it brings it down to a person. People are filling our pews and preachers are saying believe. Believe, receive, and go to heaven. Preacher? My God, you sound like you're going against everything you've ever preached. Not if you keep in context what I'm saying. Did you believe into the saving of your soul? Did it change your life?
Amen.
You've let God down since then. I have too.
Amen.
But you know for a fact it changed your life. You know it made a difference in you. That is believing unto the saving of your soul. As it gives the gospel there, unless you believed in vain. That means lightly. How many people come in our churches and they hear the gospel preached? And they say, oh. Do you know what? If you would have come to me when I was a lost man and you would have said, who's the Son of God? You know what my answer would have been you as a lost man? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what I would have said.
Amen.
If I'm going to associate myself with anybody that's supposed to be God, I would have said Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, if you go to a Buddhist that's lost, and of course he is lost, he's a Buddhist, he's going to say Buddha. If you go to a Confucius, he's going to say Confucius. Depending on who you go to, but I would have said Jesus Christ yet in my heart, never, ever really believing unto the saving of my soul. Why? Because everybody believes in God. And even an atheist, in one form or another, he believes in God. He is his own God, but he believes in God. Y'all with me? I'm trying to give you some things here. Believe in God, you'll go to heaven. Be baptized, you'll go to heaven. Next one that's a big one is join the church. I'm not getting down on people that join churches. I'm not doing that. But I have not found that in scriptures.
Right.
I have not, church. I've tried to study and go back and find out where it's come from. And the best that I can find is that it come in through organizations.
Right.
It come in through the Moose Lodge.
That's right.
It come in through the Goose Lodge. It come in through the Lions Club. And it come in through all of, and don't think that I'm telling you that you've got that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell the preacher to take my name off the roll. Amen. That's fine. It won't hurt my feelings if it did. Amen. I mean, it really wouldn't. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if mine. Wouldn't hurt my feelings if the roll book, I'll be honest with you, burn up tonight. Wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. The only reason why we ever keep a roll book, I don't know why we keep a roll book. Under God, we probably ought to get rid of the stinking thing. Amen. But I believe wherever you go, you can associate yourself with Jesus Christ if he's there, and you won't be ashamed to tell the world what church you are.
Amen.
Devil get on me a little bit. I know that ain't popular, but it's being preached. Why? So at the end of the year, some of them get together and say, we got 43,000. I know church got 43,000. I know that's going to make some of you mad. I feel, ooh, I thought I felt that thing ugly Wednesday night a little bit.
Come on.
It ain't in the book.
That's right.
No, it ain't in the book. Oh, it might be in another one of your books you've been studying and reading behind. It might be in your organizational books and your educational books, but it ain't in the book.
Amen.
You won't find it nowhere in the book, amen, because they never declared that you had to be.
That's right.
Your name's written over yonder, that's the main thing. Yeah, I guarantee you one thing, and I don't say it in a prideful way, I'm saying because some will disassociate themselves with me because of my stands that I've taken here on some things God has shown me, but you won't hear nobody else preach that right there. Matter of fact, you'll hear some preach that if your name is not in a roll book, I would question or wonder if you have ever, ever been saved. When we get to heaven, Jesus Christ is not going to ask the pastor to turn over the roll book of that church, then he may look through that thing, he'll find out whether or not their name is recorded. I tell you, the Lamb's already got the Lamb's book of life. He already knows every name that's recorded therein. If your name ain't recorded on the other side, you can record it everywhere you want to, but you'll not get inside the gates of heaven. Ooh, that's scary. I have to say why I'm saying it makes me feel a little funny inside to even say it. Why? Because that's not what I've been taught. Uh-oh, now I'm not getting on anybody that's taught me anything. What I've been taught has always been what they've been taught, what's been taught down the line there. But I am saying is we can get taught the traditions of men. The Pharisees had traditions. The Pharisees knew the Word of God. Then they laid many more burdens and many more traditions upon man. Most folks don't even know that folks in the Bible that said we are sinners. It was all because they could not even associate themselves with the Pharisees at the house of God. I'm a sinner. I don't know it all. But I do know what I just spoke. It ain't in the Word of God. Preacher, but verse number 33 of chapter number 14 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That's right. God don't put confusion in there.
Amen.
You know, most churches you'll find in confusion is them trying to keep up with their old book.
Amen.
Preacher, you believe in church discipline? 100%. Do you believe in excommunication? It's Bible. 100%. I believe, bless God, if they ain't living up to the Word of God, if they're brand, and we don't, none of us do that. We all ought to take our name off the roll tonight. Every one of us ought to just go ahead and disassociate ourselves and say, God, I'm excommunicated tonight because I have not lived up to the Word of God. Like I heard a preacher say one time, I think everybody ought to be excommunicated at least once a year to make them thankful for what God's given them. God's not the author of confusion, but our role was bringing confusion in our churches. It's bringing illness and aggravation amongst brethren. Churches are trying to figure out what to do because the folks on the roll not living right. I'll tell you what we need to do. What the book says do. Amen? You won't find that in your organizational book with you. You won't find that in your church roll, but what to do if they're not living right. According to the Word of God, I think I gave it to you last Sunday night. If a brother's not right, the biblical way of handling a brother that's not living right, amen. But you will not find that by joining a specific church, you're guaranteed to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's number three. Number four, do your best to be good. I'm going to hell. If I've got to be good to go to heaven, anybody see my hand? If I've got to be good to go to heaven, you're looking at one hell-bound preacher tonight. I'm going to burn. I'm going to burn. If I've got to be good to go to heaven, I'm going to burn. You cannot be good enough. The Apostle Paul stated with his own mouth, oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. I ain't as great as the Apostle Paul, yet he was wretched. Be good. That's what we tell our children. Be good. Do your best. See, what you're going to get at the end of this is all these things I'm giving you is something you do. And it's not what you do that gets you to heaven. Do your best to be good. Uh-oh, here comes another one.
quit your bad habits. That's amiable. I believe in that. My worst bad habit is sweets. No, that ain't my worst. I ought to bring up a few other ones when you make that statement. Forgive me. There's some other bad habits that I got. Yeah, we ought to quit our bad habits. I mean, I understand that. I believe that a saved person, that we ought to watch our life. We ought to watch how we live. If there's anything that's not pleasing God, amen, then we ought to. Amen. But quitting something to go to heaven, you won't go. It don't matter how much you quit. Quit reading the Reader's Digest. You ought to. Amen. Ain't nothing in it about God. Quit wearing red, white, and blue socks if you want to. Quit to get saved. Amen. I never had to quit. Y'all, let me tell you. I'm going to show you real quick how our world has been programmed this. Go to a lost man and buy him a church and watch what he'll say.
Amen.
Brother, I need to quit a few things first. And I can quit my drinking a little bit, or when I can quit this, when I can quit that. When I get cleaned up a little bit, I'm going to come. Why are they thinking like that? Well, I tell you, y'all with me? I tell you why they're thinking like that. We have programmed them into thinking that way. Amen. And I tell you what way we have. We've got around them, amen, and they're lost. They're just lost. They're just lost. They're just lost. And we've tried our best to conform them, reform them, and make them useful citizens, and it will not work. Do good. That beer's going to send you to hell. That beer, buddy, you're going to go there. I know that ain't popular. And some of you, automatically in your mind, you're already thinking, I'm going against everything I believe, and I'm not. You're not getting it tonight. That beer's going to send you. No, that beer ain't going to send that man to hell. I'll tell you something. I could go snort an 8-ball of cocaine tonight if I was lost, and that ain't going to send me to hell, amen. That's just a fruit of a heart that's full of iniquity. What's going to send a soul to hell is rejection of Jesus Christ. It ain't never been a dope addict go to hell because of cocaine. That little girl over here that put a bullet in her head, it wasn't that bullet that put her in hell, amen. It was rejection of Jesus. I wouldn't have thought our churches would get that. I'm just now getting it. Quit this and quit that. Quit your bad habits. You know, the next thing they're starting to tell them, start a lot of good habits. Well, that's good. You know, have good habits. I mean, God has a law morally. There's a moral law in the Word of God of living right. I believe that, and having good habits and all such as that, and starting some good habits. But I can still tell you this, that's filthy rags. Isn't it amazing when you get to heaven, God's not going to roll out of one of them big old scrolls and say, let's see how much bad you've done. Let's see your good habits, and let's take a look at your bad habits. And we're going to see which one you got the most of. We're doomed tonight, amen. It's not stopping and start doing, amen. It's by grace. It's by grace of God. If we make it to heaven tonight, church, I guarantee you, it will be by the grace of God plus absolutely nothing that we've done. Nothing. I didn't deserve to be saved. I could not be good enough to be saved. That's unmerited favor that God done for me. I'm almost done. Live by the golden rule. Well, that's the book. Y'all know what the golden rule is? Wonderful. If we did unto others what was in our heart, we'd have a mess in our churches. Y'all with me? If we did unto one another what was in our hearts at times, sometimes some of you probably like smack me. Sometimes I probably like smack you. If we did to others what was really in our heart, there wouldn't be no members here. Will nobody be here next week? Brother Wayne had to haul every one of us to jail because that'd be a big free-for-all, a big fist fight in the house of God. Amen. I believe the golden rule. Jesus gives it to us to live by. Amen. But our filthy rags, all that filthy rags, if we're doing it to get to heaven. Y'all get what I'm saying? Doing these things to get to heaven. Doing these things that we might present before God and Him be pleased in our sight. No, if we do these things, it'll do because we love God. After salvation, not before. And here's one that's going to blow your mind. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. You ever heard that?
Just make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'll go to heaven. Well, can you tell me how I make Him do anything? If God don't save me, I'm going. You're Calvin. I'm not Calvinistic. I believe there's a dealing in the heart of men and women that God the Holy Ghost does. I believe there's a drawing. I believe there's an opening of the eyes. I believe there's a sinfulness we see, amen, when we get saved, amen. But I believe that it's God that works in us, both to do and the good of His good. I believe it's all God. Anything that takes place, I believe it's God's doing. He's the one that died. He's the one that shed His blood. We didn't do it, amen. We couldn't do enough to go to heaven tonight. Make Him Lord of your life. Well, there's actually folks trying to do that jump. You wonder, ooh, I feel this ugly worm coming up here when I make some of these statements. Leave. It's the truth. It's the book. I'm trying my best to search the book and what the book says, amen. Not my theory, not my idea, but what God says. Make Him Lord of your life. I believe when a person gets saved, there'll be no problem with him being Lord. I will say this. I've stepped outside. I've pushed God off the throne of my heart before. I wasn't. It didn't make me lost. But I've kept God off the throne of my heart. Now I've been Lord of my life since I've been saved. There's been times, and most of us in here, we're probably, if we were all in all, if we could see with a spiritual eye inside the heart or the soul of man, we probably wouldn't see Jesus on most folks' heart. We'd probably see Him sitting over in the corner there. So I'm talking spiritually now, sitting over in the corner there somewhere. Why? Because He's not been the Lord that He ought to be in our life. But some are trying their best to make Him to be Lord in their life, and they're still lost. Here's how somebody tried to be a Christian that's lost. That's a pathetic sight. It's pitiful. You know what they'll do? They'll have an excuse for everything. Lord God, they'll come up. Are y'all with me? I ain't made everybody too mad yet, have I? They'll have an excuse for everything. Lord God, honey preacher, I'm sorry I ain't been coming to church like I should. Bless you, Lord. I know I ain't been living right and everything, but boy, you just don't know how hard it's been. Who don't? A saved person knows how hard it is. You don't know the problems I've had. You don't know what I've been through, but I'm still telling the world about Jesus. Shut up. Don't tell the world nothing about Jesus. He'll be Lord of your life when you get truly born again. And then when He's Lord of your life, amen, it'll be because He come in. God's not, I don't know, but see, oh God, this is scary. God's not a God that we can find somewhere like a little imp. See, that's idolatry. That we can take and say, Lord, I'm placing God right there. See, my hand's still on it. He's going to be the Lord of my life. I don't care what happens. He's just going to be Lord of my life. And we try to make Him be, amen. Then we find out real quick that we cannot do it. Most of a lost person cannot do it. And then they'll end up setting down what they once believed. That's believing in vain. Am I making sense? I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm getting through. Live by the golden rule, make Jesus Lord of your life. Word Lord actually means the authority or the ruler. We're all going to hell tonight then. We might as well just go together. You see, rolling our life 100% in everything we do, I dare say tonight that probably most folks today, it's probably not. Not leading 100%. Leading maybe sometimes, some maybe most of the time. Maybe He's got leadership in life. But let's just say that if we've got to make Him Lord in our life, we're going to hell. Every one of them. Make Jesus Lord of your life. I've heard that. Make your decision for Christ. Make Him Lord of your life. That's the work you do. I got two more. Anybody see my ears? Now, this is really going to blow your mind. Y'all, I ain't got two more. Y'all hang with me. Ask Jesus into your heart. I know that goes against our Bible theology. And some of you in your heart's got scripture going through your mind. Preacher, that's not Bible. Yes, it is Bible. How many people have prayed that prayer? I told my wife down Way Church tonight. I said, you know, August 21st when I got saved. Let me tell you. I was saved before I ever reached that altar.
grace of God worked in my heart. There was a repentant heart. From that very point right there and on, amen, I tell you what, all my coming forward did was give assurance. But in my own heart, I knew God had saved. Why? Because I truly, for the first time in my life, I truly believed in His finished Word. Wasn't it work I done? It wasn't even a prayer I prayed. Lord Jesus, Lord, that makes me want to throw up. I've done that before with people. I've sat in their houses and tried to give them the words to say that they might be, don't do that, Judge. If God's working in their life, He won't go wrong. But preacher, what about the Ethiopian? Go back and read about the Ethiopian. He couldn't figure out who God was unless some man got him.
Amen.
What did Philip use? The Scriptures. It comes from the Word of God. Whose Word is it? Is it God's Word? I didn't write nothing in it. I never put a jot or a tittle there. I never put a period or nothing else. It's all God. That's the point I'm trying to make tonight. Ask him in your heart. Now, I got to read some Scripture before you think I've gone crazy. Y'all flip with me. I want you to see this. Romans 10. God's where most of your mind's done with. Romans 10. Look at verses 8 through 10. But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Now here it goes. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, here it is, look, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Y'all with me? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We could go back again to Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, okay, Philippian jailer, repeat after me.
Right.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Didn't nobody have to tell me I was a sinner when God started dealing with me? Didn't a man, woman, boy, girl, goat, a cow, or nothing else ever had to speak a word to me? Then God, the Holy Ghost, began to deal. I believe with my heart. That's what saves a person. For with the heart, a man believes unto righteousness. With the heart. When Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word believe there actually means heart conviction. It don't mean words you speak mystically. You speak the right words, it'll open up the door and Jesus will slide in. That ain't nowhere in the book. It says believe, true believe, say to believe, that'll change your life, thy salvation. And when a person gets that, they won't be ashamed to confess it with your mouth. Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of who? For it is what?
Power.
God's gift is powerful. Unto what? That's being said. To who? Everyone that what? Believes. I'm going to show you true belief and head belief. True belief tells me, and I'm not using this little girl back here, I'm really not, that breaks my heart. I believe in my heart that if I got a 357, and I've never seen no one blow their brains out. I've preached funerals of folks that's done that, but I've never seen nobody do that. But I believe if I put a bullet in that gun and stick it right here to my head, or stick it right here, or stick that thing right here. Well, I'll tell you what. Is it 44 you got, brother? If I take Brother Ricky's 44, and Lord God, if that thing don't kill you, you can't die. If I took that gun and stuck that thing right here and pulled the trigger, I believe in my heart I'm going to be dead. There ain't no question in my mind. Matter of fact, I believe it so much, I ain't going to do it.
That's a hard belief. A head belief says this, just in case what he's saying is right. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hogwash! There's a difference between hard belief and head belief.
In a sense, heart belief will change your life. A head belief, I think I hit it this morning. With a head belief, a drunkard will stay a drunkard. With a head belief, a dope addict will stay a dope addict. With a head belief, a lost man will still continue to live like a lost man. But with a heart belief, it changes you inside, outside, and makes you different.
So just ask Jesus into your heart.
Last one. Confess your sins and turn from them. I've heard people stand not here and give testimony. And you listen to me. I know I'm saved. You know how I know I'm saved? Because I quit doing drugs. I know I'm saved because I quit drinking beer. And I know I couldn't quit drinking beer unless God saved me. Well, you better go tell that to some of the folks I know in AA that ain't drunk in 20 years. They lost. Don't know Jesus. But they just as saved as some folks in our churches today. Why? Because they have turned from their sins. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You're doing all 10 of these things before salvation. I'm talking about it'll make a change, a difference in your life after salvation. Amen. You'll be willing to let go of sin. Matter of fact, today, God save me. God, whatever you want me to quit, whatever you want me to stop, it'll bring glory to you. Amen. Not to me, but if it'll bring glory to you, I'm willing to do that thing. The Pharisees confessed their sins and turned from them and died and went to hell. Oh, my God, preacher, we're all lost and going to hell. Not if you've believed in your heart. Have you believed from your heart? All these things I've given you are equally effective in taking you to hell. As a matter of fact, you can feel free to pick whichever ones you prefer. You can pick several of them if you want to. You can have all of them if you want to and go to the lake of fire with them. I still believe there's people just walking in their churches with a King James Bible in their hand. Amiable, believe in it. Never miss a service. Amiable, believe in it. Got their hair cut above their ears. Amiable, wonderful. Might even dress in a suit. Amiable, if you got one, wear it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But they've done all these things. Therefore, they try. I had a preacher tell me one time, y'all get this, and I'm going to close. I can't figure out whether or not I'm trying to prove to myself that I'm saved. I said, what do you mean? I said, I just wonder sometimes if I'm doing all these things that are right to prove to me that I'm truly born again. And I said, buddy, you're in bad shape. You know what Jamie Coley has proved to himself in the 9 years I've been saved? That I didn't save myself. I have proved to myself that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be living like a lost man. I have proved myself unfaithful, but He has always proved to be faithful. Amen. I don't preach to prove to me I'm saved. I don't read the Bible to prove to me I'm saved. I don't pray to prove to me I'm saved. I'm saved tonight simply based upon the grace of God and the belief He gave me. For by grace are you saved, through faith. He said, now just in case, and that not of yourself.
Amen.
That means the faith that you had, you didn't work that up.
Amen.
God give it to you. Through faith, by grace. I wish I had an example to give you, but I don't, other than you looking at one. I am what I am by the grace of God. Preacher, do you think there's room for you to be a better Christian? Oh, God, yeah.
Right,
matter of fact, there's so much room. I don't know how much time God has allotted me. It may be 100 years. God may say by about the time this boy's 100 years old, he's going to get pretty close to being what I want him to be, and I'll just go on and take him. About the time you get where you need to be, most of the time, God takes you on home, amen. You don't believe that? Go back and look at Enoch. He got so close to God, walking with him, God finally said, you can't go back to earth. You can't hang out down there no more. You done become too much like me. And he took him on to be with him.
Amen.
I'm not trying to give you a license to sin. I feel like I need to explain myself a little bit. I think most of you understood what I preached tonight. I hope that you have. You don't do to be saved. When God deals in your heart, all that the Father giveth me shall come. I was talking to my daddy this past week, or the other week, my nephew asked him, he said, Paul, he said, you was a primitive Baptist. My daddy's brought up primitive Baptist. That's what our family was years ago. He said, what is a primitive Baptist? He said, a primitive Baptist believes you was elected to heaven or elected to hell. In other words, that God raised this one up to go to hell, he can't be saved. There ain't nothing under heaven he could ever be saved. And God raised this one up to go to heaven, and he's going to go to heaven. If God has to whoop the devil out of him and make him be saved, God will do it. I don't believe that. I simply believe tonight, for some of you think I've gone out and left field, that God already knows who's going to be saved. That's the elect of God. God's foreknowledge. He knew before he ever created. David said, before I was even a substance in my mama's womb,
that's right.
He knew me. In other words, God knows it all right now, does he not? He knew one day that when he dealt my heart, Brother Tony, that faith of what I heard that he gave me, I was going to believe. That's salvation. Now let me ask you this. Have you got it? How many of you know for a fact you're born again? Look at that. I didn't see nobody do like that. You have been in the Spirit for about 45 minutes now, thank Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. I was dealing with a young man one time, and then we're going to pray. Several folks I've dealt with and didn't understand why I did it at the time, but I do now. And the Holy Ghost began to deal with them. And I turned and walked away and left. And I said, my heart, where are you going? Where are you going? There's a soul in desperate need there. Where are you going? But I realized by me turning and walking away, God can use you to speak his word to them. And that's all that it takes. Somebody ever goes to the altar and God puts it on your heart to go pray with them? That's one thing. You might be able to. I've done learned something. I'm not even going to try to give a man or a woman assurance. The Holy Ghost of God has shown me that's what he does, not me. He said, Jamie, if you want to give them some scripture because they don't know nothing about the Bible, that's one thing. But don't try to persuade them into making them believe that they're saved and give them assurance. The Holy Ghost does that. Church, the point I'm trying to make is we better back out of the work of God, amen, and let God do the saving work. We can't do it. Now, we ain't McDonald's. We're not going to hang a sign out there that says, 30 million saved this past year or 20 million saved this past year. I'm not going to do that. I do not believe in that. Amen. I say believe what's in the book. God gives you the faith to believe that and then live what God shows you you need to live. If you would do that, God will bless your life. I'm talking about a child of God now. I'm talking about a child of God. He will bless your life. I got walked away from some folks before that was like that and didn't want to, but I did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was already drawing. The Holy Spirit done his work, done spoke. And it was up to whatever God wanted to do with that man. And he got saved. And I realized, that's been several years back, I realized then, salvation's of the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
If God saves, we're vessels that he uses. We're screwdrivers in the master's hand.
Amen.
That's what God uses us for. And I give you this example. I'm rattling, though. I'm trying to show you a point. If the carburetor on your car needs to be adjusted, you can take a screwdriver and adjust that thing. But it's not the screwdriver that adjusted it. Because the screwdriver couldn't do it without the hand behind it. It's the one behind it that turns the screw. We were just a screwdriver. That's what we are in God's hands. We're screwdrivers that he uses to turn and to work in people's lives. But it's him, the force behind, that does the work. Heavenly Father, I hope that whether or not they be in the faith or not in faith, I hope they realize tonight some things that you've shown me, God, that salvation is of the Lord. I still believe that it's a whosoever will. Yet I still believe you already know who the whosoever's are. Now, God, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us, and all these things I mentioned are amiable, and I believe it would be pleasing in your sight if we done them. But we don't do them to get to heaven. That's the whole point I was trying to get across. We don't do it to get to heaven. If we do them, we do them because we're going to heaven. Would you help us, Lord, and then would you use us in some form or some fashion this week to be used by you in this world that's lost? You use us. If you want to use us as a wrench, a screwdriver, whatever you want to use us for, it's all your business. We've learned that. And we'll love you and thank you, Lord, for all that you do. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.